Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. I'm Hannah Norris, I'm your host, and I'm here with my husband.
Carl Donnelly, yeah. Co-host, husband, father-to-be.
Yep, that's who he is. And we are here, this is episode 23 of the Keith Cheggers podcast, which is quite a lot of times to have recorded.
It's loads of times, isn't it?
Yeah, over the last 23 weeks. Yeah, because I'm currently at week 28 of my pregnancy. And that's what this podcast is about. We're looking at pregnancy because when we found out we were having a baby 22 weeks ago, no, more than that, something like that, a few months ago, yeah. We realized that we didn't really know anything about pregnancy. So for the last 23 weeks, we've been talking to people and finding out stuff, and it's been very useful for us.
And charting your course.
Yeah. Charting my pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's been really useful and interesting for us. And I hope for those of you who are listening at home, you've been enjoying it and finding it interesting and useful too.
Yes.
Some friends I've spoken to who have been pregnant and have kids or whatever are enjoying listening to it, mainly to laugh at us.
Well, yeah, I think they're enjoying the naivety, I think, yeah. That we are like, oh, it's great, isn't it? It's going to be so fun having a kid. I've read all my books and I'm going to be such a great dad. It's going to be so easy.
Just going to breastfeed and then we'll just go for walks and sleeps.
Yeah, and they're going to be like French kids and not throw food around. Yeah. I know we're obviously setting ourselves up for the biggest fall of possible.
But I also think there's something in being calm about it. Not being too think we're being anxious about what's to come. We might be hit with things that make us anxious and that we don't know how to deal with.
Of course.
But I think, you know, particularly like still for me with birth, I'm still feeling quite excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, that is madness. But after hearing some of the stories we've heard.
Even hearing all our stories, like I'm not freaked out. They're not, I mean, I guess as well, in my acting, I've always liked really horrific plays and really dramatic and dark.
Yeah.
I really love it when something's really fucked up.
Yeah, I think you will, yeah. If anything, if it goes too smoothly, you'll probably be a bit annoyed with yourself.
I'll feel like I missed out on this proof of womanhood, like this badge, brownie badge I need to get. Going through it, but we still got a few weeks till that, but it's not long, it's just over 11 weeks now,
yeah,
till the due date. But that's also really counting down,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I mean, I think, you know, we're also both quite calm sorts of people,
yeah.
You know, I think considering what's been going on in the last few weeks, we've not...
Coronavirus, guys, it's Corona, yeah, I mean, we're corona right, time.
Yeah, I mean, people like me might be listening to this a year down the line. But
when you're still at home,
if you're listening
knows?
To this up to date, we're, you know, you're probably, maybe this will be like 2 weeks behind because when it gets released. But we're right in the midst of it. I mean, you should probably talk with everyone through our last week.
Yeah, so we're back in London now, which... We're back here, I think, 4 weeks, over 4 weeks before we were due to be coming back, which is because we were in Australia where we recorded the last couple of episodes on lapel mics. And we're very happy to be back.
I mean,
with
it's
a nice,
great to be back on these.
Nice new mic, not new microphones, proper just home microphones. And there's all sorts of things about whether we were actually going to be able to leave the country or not. And we managed to get flights, but then... They closed the borders in Singapore where we were supposed to be flying through. So we had to fly. Qantas changed and made the first ever direct flight from Darwin to London, which we were on.
17 hours.
Mm-hmm. We were on the plane for 24 hours altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we went from Sydney to Darwin and had to stay on while they refueled.
Because the airport was too small to cope with that many people at one time.
Yeah, they only had one fuel pump. We were in an A380, which is the big the big old, big, massive planes that have been flying for 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Double-decker chunkers. And I had that fear. I was like, is the runway too short? Is it going to be, like, is the plane going to be too heavy for the runway? Which obviously they've thought of.
And also, that, you know, I was chatting to a few friends on WhatsApp saying, oh, they've put us on this. Basically, they've created a route to try and get people back to Europe. And I said, yeah, they've got us on this one. It's direct flight from Darwin. We were literally on the first ever commercial one.
The pilot laughed when he said it.
Yeah, he said that
he said, so we've never done this before.
Yeah, but I'm assuming they must have had a...
No, I don't think they've
Those pilots might not have, but surely there was a test run of... They have to test run the plane doing that route, surely.
Well, I thought it was going to be a Dreamliner, which I'd heard about, which is the one that flies from Perth to London or Sydney to London. And so I was... Yeah.
Well, we had a row to ourselves.
Yeah, we did.
We did, you know, you got us a nice little back row.
Yeah, here's a little tip, guys. If you're a couple and you're flying together and you can book your own seats, book a window and an aisle because they generally don't put someone in the middle seat.
If it's not a totally sold out plane,
But there was all sorts of rumours around the airport that this was going to be totally sold out. But
yes.
We also, the check-in staff had told us that wasn't the case. And I think they'd done that for safety for the passengers.
To give a bit of space. If they'd have, imagine like a flight in the midst of like when every country was going into lockdown. Don't be near people, you know, to keep your social distance. I think it would have been, I don't think Qantas would want the press of people taking photos of a totally rammed flight.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, there was a lot of seats in between.
Mm. And it was actually very easy flight. I feel like everyone surrendered to the reality of our situation. Yeah. Like, I thought there was going to be more anxiety on board.
Yeah.
But it was fine. But I did not believe we were actually going to make it to London until we landed.
Absolutely.
All that way, I kept thinking something was going to get cancelled, changed, diverted.
When we were at Sydney, so we flew Melbourne to Sydney. Mm-hmm. At Sydney, I was convinced they were going to say, sorry, that we can't do that flight.
Yeah.
Got to Darwin, I thought we were going to get turned back. It felt like, because obviously for a week we'd had flights being changed and cancelled. And yeah, so when we hit the runway in London, it was a relief.
Yeah. Did we clap? There was clapping, wasn't there?
There was clapping, there was clapping in Darwin, there was clapping in London. It's quite nice. Normally, you know, I'm not a massive fan of the American sort of, hey, we landed, let's have a clap. But because of the fact this was uncharted territory, and it did feel like they'd got us home.
Yeah,
I think the clap was a relief and a genuine thanks.
And we obviously had masks, and I wore mine for the whole time. Actually, I swapped masks halfway through because you're only supposed to wear them for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So I transferred onto a new mask. Carl didn't wear his the whole time.
So I had it on initially, and then we got on a flight, and then I looked around. I was like, right, there's enough space. I took it off.
Because you were in the corner, really.
I was in the corner, yeah. But then on the 17-hour one, first few times I'd put it back on to go to the toilet, and then once we got into the heart of it and I was tired and it was just dark and I was like, oh, can't be bothered. Give me the corona.
But also because I was sitting on the aisle, I'm usually a window seat person, but for pregnancy I sat on the aisle so I could go for walks and go do wees. Oh my God, and washed my hands so much that my hands were disgusting.
They looked so old.
Actually, I don't even know, like really crackled and white. And
like when you showed them to me, you went, I look at my hands. I thought they're obviously not going to be as bad as you've made out. And even I was like, wow.
I feel like I've still got a like rash. I think it's a permanent, because obviously that was a time when you had to wash your hand. Like we had some antibacterial and stuff, but using those toilets, shared toilets, like that's when your corona hand washing has to come into practice. And because I was going lots for the walks and because I'm pregnant, I was doing a lot of hand washing. Yeah. But yeah, we made it back.
Yes.
And
we had made allowances. Like we discussed how we'd started to sort of make contingency plans that if you had to give birth there.
Yeah.
We
kind of got ourselves into the hospital system and the possibility of having an Aussie baby.
Yes.
Which she will be anyway.
Half.
Yeah. But do you think if she was born there, she'd be full Aussie?
No.
No.
But maybe.
We made it back. An interesting thing is that the doctor in Melbourne wrote me a fit to fly note, which when you have to fly, the Qantas rules were if you're 28 weeks pregnant or more, you need a letter that proves you're fit to fly. And I didn't need to show it.
Yeah.
But she wrote me a letter that said I was fit to fly up until 36 weeks after, you know, talking to her about the appointments that we'd had and cervix and all that kind of gear. But they wouldn't give me one of those letters over here when we were trying to fly out of the country because I'd been at the premature clinic.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, just because you've been here, we can't say that you're fit to fly. So I didn't talk about it on here
until then.
No, because I was scared. If I talked about it, then people would know that.
You thought Qantas I'd probably go to jail. We do get a lot of listeners from the Qantas admin staff.
Yeah, that maybe the police would come and get me. So yeah, they over here they'd said I wasn't fit to fly.
Yeah,
they couldn't write me a letter.
Yeah, for their own sort of probably legal ramifications, you know, to protect themselves, they just didn't want to say you were definitely fine to fly.
Yeah, which as well, I don't think.
But a midwife told you that actually you're fine, and you know, just to sort of, she even recommended we won't say, or should we probably? Is it, are we going to dob someone in if we say this?
No, I think it's okay.
She basically recommended just sort of keep it quiet.
Don't tell them you're pregnant.
Because you don't have to tell them because you're under 28 weeks.
Yeah, and because she said that there was someone she knew who was 21 weeks pregnant who told them at check-in that she was pregnant and they asked to see a letter even though she wasn't required and they didn't let her fly.
Exactly. So she said just keep your mouth
shut. Yeah, I was acting all normal.
On the way out, you had a scarf. Yeah, covering your belly. On the way back, though,
belly out.
You just owned it. You had your letter. You didn't care.
I was milking
VIP pass.
So when we went over, we didn't say anything. But then we were fine coming back because I had my letter.
Yes.
And on arrival, like, it's still a weird thing doing that long. You know, there were those thoughts about, because it was 2 weeks that we were there for.
Yeah.
So we'd done a massive long haul flight, been in the country for 2 weeks and then did a massive long haul flight back. Yeah. So it's those things going, oh, am I fit to fly? But am I fit to fly that much in that short amount of time? Will that prove to have any problems or anything like that? And when I did land, I remember I had a little bit of pink discharge.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Carl?
I remember you telling me.
And so I was a bit scared. I was like, oh no, has something happened? Is something going to happen? But that was just one time going to the toilet and there was nothing else.
Yeah.
So that was a relief.
Yes.
Because the whole point of coming back was because this is where we wanted to have our baby.
Yes.
In London. And in the NHS, in the service that we've been with the whole time through IVF and then throughout the whole pregnancy, because, yeah, I feel like I understand the system here. I started learning more about the Australian system and they are different.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds to me over there, it's much more... Or I read in a book the other day as well, like in the UK, it's midwife care.
Yes.
So it's midwives who look after pregnant people and attend the birth. In America, it's obstetricians, it's doctors. They don't. In some states, midwives are illegal.
Really?
In America.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because they believe it's like a old profession, like it's witches. I didn't read that bit.
Yeah, you've added that bit in, haven't you?
Yeah, but that's what would make sense to me about it. And it felt definitely like in Australia it was much more doctor led. Yeah. I don't know. If someone, any of my friends, are they doctors? Do you have midwives? I don't know. Anyone Australian? But that was my sense of it, because here it's all very...
Midwifery.
Lots of midwifery.
Doulas.
Yeah, not that many doulas.
No.
I started thinking about the doula thing, but I don't think I'm into
it. I mooted it a couple of months ago. And, you know, I know it's costly to a certain, you know, but especially now, considering no one's got any money or work. But, I like the idea of it. But, like, having chatted to people like Monique when she said, like, how she found it was nice having Josh.
Josh being the best birth partner ever.
Yeah, you know, I sort of now feel like, oh, I don't want a doula. I want to be the doula.
Yeah. Doula Donnelly.
Yeah.
but before we left Australia, we had our 28-week scan there, which we'd managed to just chuck forward a few days early. So we had it actually in week 27, but it was still officially the 28-week scan. And that's the first man I've had.
Yeah. I was a bit perturbed when we walked in. It was like a probably a man in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
Just dressed sort of just, you know, he looked a bit like a doctor, like a GP.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a bit like, ooh.
And it was like, the room had carpet in it.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that it wasn't not like a hospital room.
No, it felt like an office.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah, an office space with a chair on it and an ultrasound equipment and dim lighting. But there was a couple of things from that. The scan was all good. She's gone back from being average Janet to even more massive Janet.
She's huge again. She's really had a growth spurt.
Yeah, she was 99th percentile now. And the weight on my app at that stage. Oh, do you remember where are we at fruit and vegetable wise this week?
It's gone back. You're not going to have coconut. Any
idea. Yeah.
I do remember coconut. Thank you.
Which we've had to decide is a coconut inside the green coconut shell.
Yeah, because otherwise it'd be smaller than
coconut is tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and on that, I did look up, you know how we got told you can look up little animals? There's different things in the apps.
Yes.
In the app I've got, you can change it to being an animal or to being pastry.
And what?
They're both disgusting. Like a few weeks ago, it was like a possum or something.
Yeah.
That just made me feel a bit gross. I'd rather think about my baby as a butternut squash than a cat.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So we were at his so on the app it said that week she should have been probably about 900 grams.
Yeah.
1.4 kilos.
Yeah. I reckon he might but then we know what happened before. I reckon he might be slightly over measuring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had three scans now. One went sort of big.
89%.
Then another one came 76%. Back down and that one said the last one probably over measured. You know, this guy might have thought the last one undermeasured. I just think it's probably somewhere between those, like, sort of slightly above average and massive. I reckon it's in that category.
Yeah.
So I reckon that's...
And it was interesting because he, you know, in terms of fit to fly and things like that, he basically, like, obviously now she's viable. I think that's the word they use, viable. And he said once a baby's over a kilogram, then that's kind of... okay.
Yeah.
That's something they can really work with and look after and kind of give a good shot of making it. So even though she's it's still early in the pregnancy, that because of her size, if things were to happen and she was born prematurely, that she'd have a good chance.
Yeah. That was a night when he said that, I was like, that's not a thing I'd have thought they would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually found it very...
was reassuring.
Reassuring, definitely. I thought it was really good because I went away going, oh, that's... It just takes out a bit of that fear of, oh, what if it...
Yeah.
What if she shows up early and it's all hard and, you know.
Yeah.
It was nice, I think, that he said that.
And he also measured my cervix, which was at its, you know, classic old 2.5.
It's really leveled out.
Yeah. And so I'm still on the progesterone and he suggested more that was kind of an average... Australian length cervix.
He basically said, he goes, you're not worried. He goes, if it's 2.5, you're absolutely fine. He was very calm about it.
Yeah.
So again, it's probably like the last person was probably a little bit over cautious.
Yeah.
And it just shows again, all it takes is the wording and the tone of voice.
Yeah.
And suddenly something that isn't an issue just gets in the back of your mind. It's like, is that a thing?
Because it is. It's the exact same information, but totally. Just because he was like, oh.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool.
You could see he was not in any way concerned.
Yeah. And interesting with the scan is that he put it all on a USB. So we've got the scan, which I don't know where it is.
The
right
video
now.
Of it.
That you can watch it. So when we came home, I showed it to my mum and I showed it to my brother, which is cool because they don't get to be there. And you actually get to see those little bits of moving and kind of making the baby real.
And we got one.
But the other part that they do, just.
They take some real sort of.
They did some 3D imaging. And that was fucked up.
Yeah.
It was Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, the babies just don't look good in their 3D images.
A melted face with a hole in the side of it. I don't know why he showed it to us or why he did it. It's disgusting.
It had all of the ones up on the wall of all the other... Every baby looked horrendous. It's like, don't put them up.
Yeah.
If you get... They need to like have something in the software that... You know, gets the 3D image and then touches it up.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of smooths it over and takes out all that.
It was like candle wax dripping off her face. And then there was just this hole in the left-hand side of her head.
Yeah, which was just obviously just where the thing was leaning. And it's obviously, it's just, they don't. It doesn't give you a nice image of your child.
But we got that. He just printed that out and we've got that anyway.
Yeah.
just to
got that in a put in a frame.
Just to show her what you used to look like when you were little.
When you used to look gross.
But that was just part of the scans there because it was a private scan.
Yes.
And there are things that they do at the clinic there. But it was, yeah, that was all good. And I felt really glad that we did that before we did the flight.
Yeah.
Because I also phoned up the Queen Charlotte's Hospital just to say that we were coming back and book in the 32-week scan that we didn't have in and book in an appointment with a doctor because we hadn't seen anyone and the plan was to see them when we came back. And I thought since we were coming back early, it'd be good to lock that in.
Yeah.
So I managed to book in a doctor's appointment, but they said they weren't doing the 32-week scans in the current environment and they weren't doing 28-week scans either. So I was lucky to have done that. So, yeah, I did book in a doctor's appointment for when we came back. And the day before the appointment, I called up and it was in like it, calling the hospital. It went straight through to like a coronavirus announcement saying, you know, if this isn't urgent, please hang up now. If you've got an appointment, it's going to be a phone appointment unless your doctor has advised you otherwise. Do not come into the hospital. Kind of an automated thing. And I was like, oh, all right then. So the next day was supposed to be the appointment, but I didn't get a phone call. So then I called them back and got like there was a couple of different lines. These phone numbers were just in the front of my blue folder. And I hadn't called any of them before, sort of antenatal clinic and appointments. And when I did speak to someone, she said, oh, no, that's not right. You should have come in.
Ow.
Yesterday, but they managed to reschedule me for a couple of days later, which was perfect. And so I thought that was like, so we're in lockdown right now. The situation in London is go shops once a week.
Yes.
You can go out of the house once a day for exercise or if you have kind of any particular appointments or if you need to work, if you have a essential job, whatever they call them. like comedy and acting. So I was really looking forward to going to that appointment and then we didn't get to go out of the house instead. But yeah, then on the Monday, the rescheduled one, the doctor phoned me. So I talked her through everything that we'd done in Australia, like the gestational diabetes that I don't have that. And that we had the scan and it was all good. And she confirmed that the 32-week scans aren't happening at the moment. So it's just going in for the 36 weeks, which is really, really close to the baby being born.
Yeah.
and I'm going to go in for blood tests, though, probably tomorrow, because I had some blood tests done in Melbourne with the gestational diabetes. But she also looked at my iron, which was a bit low. So I've been on iron supplements. And she also said that my platelets were a bit low and my liver mark, there was a couple of liver markers that were high.
Right.
Now my platelets, I've had blood tests in the past, the where my blood, like my white blood cells have gone kind of up and down and things like that. And because I had a cold, that might've been the reason. So yes. I'm going into the hospital to have some blood tests, which are routine at this point anyway, but because I'd had a little cold, put it off for a few days. So probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
Going to go to the hospital. For an outing and see what it looks like down there in coronavirus times.
I know.
But she also, she asked me about the birth and what we've been thinking of. And my number one preference is home birth.
Yes, we're back on the home birth.
Yeah, would be nice. Number two is birth centre. And so I said to her that they were the two and I'd heard you could kind of suggest to be in the system for both of them, to be referred for both. And she said, yep, that's true. But then she said, because of your age, Miss 40-year-old, and also because we'd done IVF, that she would like to invite me in for an induction in week 39. Now, I've been reading lots of hippie books about birth and they're very, they're not into the idea of induction. Like the baby grows and is ready to give birth when it's time to give birth, which is generally around 40 weeks. So I am sort of that mindset that I would prefer not to be induced. And
yes.
I know it can be a become a traumatic birth and things like that. And then I asked if we could kind of postpone that and do it sort of in week 40,
yeah.
41 instead. And she's, you know, we're going to talk about it more. And when we have an appointment at 36 weeks, that's when we can kind of lock things down.
Yeah.
But she also explained to me the reason why she'd like to do it then. And it had to do with stillbirth and how the chance of stillbirth goes up around that time, particularly when you're older. Like the chances, she said, is still like 1%.
Yeah.
But the kind of within that 1%, there's a greater chance if you're older.
Yes.
And that freaked me out.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to think about at all.
No.
So I kind of had a day going, yuck. Like suddenly I couldn't feel her kicking very much. And suddenly that was all happening now, you know, just by considering that possibility. But I'm going to read a bit more about it and just see what's what. I have a feeling, guys, I have a feeling it's all going to be just normal and fine anyway.
But I'd say, you know, I do think she's probably just laid it out there. So that's her job, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, you know, so they word it in certain ways. But I think she probably feels like, right, I have to give them this information.
Yeah.
At 36 weeks, I'm sure if you say, you know, like, if I had the option, I'd rather not do that. I'm sure she'll be fine.
It's still a thing. You have to consent to everything.
Yes.
And I've been reading a bit about that and about kind of, I've just finished reading a hypnobirthing book that a friend gave me, which was really good. There's a lot, you know, there's kind of the hypnobirthing exercises and breathing and relaxation, which I skimmed a little bit. And then she got right into just more of the details about birth and about aspects of pregnancy that I didn't know and that I found really useful and that I've mostly forgotten already, but that I really liked reading. And so those kind of things, particularly around inducing birth and things was in there, and that I learnt more about that, even though I can't remember it anymore. And the exercises that you're supposed to do, you're supposed to read things out to me.
I'm gonna start reading. The book is next to the bed.
I put the book on your side of the.
Yes, it is on my list.
So you can read it.
The Celestine Prophecy, which mm-hmm. you brought back
yeah.
in your books collection, which I've never read.
Yeah, which I think I've read, but then I don't know if I actually have read it.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah, that induction thing is definitely still in my head and kind of, and if that was the case, she's like, no, that's no home birth. That's no birth center.
Yeah.
That's hospital. So, that was it. Thanks everybody for being patient. It was about how doctors are not obstetricians. Their involvement in birth is once things go wrong,
yes.
Once things haven't gone smoothly. So what they see is once a birth gets to a need for intervention.
Yeah.
So they're not present at births that are normal and natural.
Yeah.
And have no issues whatsoever. So the idea of induction, the idea of intervention is part of their is their main experience
yes.
of birth. So that's why they're keen to suggest it, and also
right,
which is also, you know, and it comes from a part of it comes from a point of view of safety, obviously, and they have to tell you the reasons why, but it's still. And there's this tricky thing with once you hear your baby could be stillborn if you don't do this, that puts this semi pressure where you go, I'm not thinking about my, if I say no, then I'm putting my baby at that risk. Which in that hypnobirthing book, it sort of says that's not necessarily the case. Like that percentage is still low, remains the same. And
blah, blah, blah. So, well, I suppose if it's a difference between 0.5%, you know, that is, it's still 0.5% against you.
But it's that consideration of going, if I said no and then the baby was still born and that was because I said no to an induction.
Yeah,
like they probably can, they would still be able to do it. You just have a later induction, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Unless.
But yeah, I know what you mean. It's just, it suddenly just puts a little bit of responsibility back on you, doesn't it?
which is what I feel like I've been taking throughout the whole, like I feel like I've been responsible throughout the whole time. But yeah, those kind of reality checks, you go, oh yuck. However, I saw on the news yesterday in terms of coronavirus times that at the moment there are no home births being available and no water births.
I mean, we're at the minute, I wouldn't expect that to be the case. Just for, you can't, you know, the risk of.
Well, I was thinking the opposite though, because hospitals are not necessarily where you want people.
No.
So that they might be sending more people out to have births at
maybe
home.
I suppose, I just presume that maternity wards and all that will be more sterile and things that they would be happy and comfortable doing, whereas your home, they might worry that people have been coming and going. They don't know. They can't monitor that, can they?
True.
So, but I'm thinking, you know, we've still got 2.5 months.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, I would hope in the next 6 weeks with this self-isolation and lockdown policy that if everyone just behaves themselves, things will start, you know, by mid-June, certain things will be back, like it running better than they currently are.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we, over the next
I mean, that'll 11
episode, 12 episodes.
I will rue saying that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, we're still indoors.
Yes.
But we are allowed to, like I said, we are allowed to go out for walks once a day, which I've been doing, going down to my local park, doing a little walk. And yesterday, I get this thing where like it's a little bit like a cramp, but not fully, but in sort of my belly where walking, you know, I know this is where you're supposed to have Braxton Hicks.
Yes. That's
what I just think about Tony Braxton. I don't know what they're. We're just sort of like contractions, sort of preparation. I could, often when I start walking, like if we leave the house and we're walking at a bit of a pace, kind of that first sort of exercise of the day that's got a bit of pace to it, I'll feel a little contraction.
Yeah.
That's doesn't last for long. And I mean, I don't know. Is that what a contraction? I don't know if that's what a contraction feels like. I could feel a feeling in my tummy.
Yeah.
And yesterday when I was walking, it got to a point where I was like, oh shit, I have to go home. This hurts. But then I kept walking. I was starting to go up a slight hill, but I turned around to come back. And then I didn't have it anymore. So I kept walking and it was fine. And the other thing I've been doing this week, bits of admin, my maternity pay, maternity allowance thing. So filling out forms.
Yes.
Getting you to
self-employed maternity pay is what you are currently applying for.
Which is interesting because at this time there's, because I phoned up HMRC, which is the tax office here, because there's, in order to receive kind of the standard amount of maternity allowance from the government, which I think is £145 a week. The kind of the other, if you're not eligible for that, then you get £30 a week.
Well, that's a real drop.
Which is just like a little, a little bit of pocket money. with 145, you have to have done National Insurance Class 2 contributions. So in the UK, you have a national insurance number which allows you to work here, right?
That's
what it is. And then if you're self-employed, you contribute to national insurance out of your payments if you make a certain amount of money, I think. So I'd called up to find out about that, because if you haven't made 13 of these contributions, which turn out just to be £3 a week.
Yeah, they're not. It's not much.
So if you haven't made a contribution of £39 in the past 66 weeks, then you just go down to this £30 a week. But the nice man I spoke to said to just fill out the forms, send them in, and then they'll get back to me and tell me what I need to pay, what else I need to do. I've been doing that and trying to find payslips for different jobs that I've done, and I've got lots of numbers and charts that I've been showing Carl and going, help, what do I do with this bit? Because there is that slight difference in the tax systems. You know, I'm more used to the Australian system than I am over here. But I think we sorted out, and I think I can send them in. I've also got to get my MAT, it's called a MAT B1 form, which I think just is proof that you're having a baby when you say you are, that I have to get from the doctor or midwife around this time. So when I get blood tests, I've got to pick that up, because you need that with all your stuff when you send it in. So I'm doing the admin, which is really fun.
I had loads of time for admin.
Yeah, but it's taken me ages, even though there's nothing else to do. And I don't know, what else? It's just going to be you and me talking to each other for the next...
I know. We've literally spent the last week locked in the house together just talking. And
yeah.
And then... I suppose, but actually, this is... Because this podcast has charted your pregnancy, and, you know, a lot's been changing and moving, I actually do think you're at the part of pregnancy now where it's almost just now just waiting to get to the real business end.
Yeah,
this third trimester, like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I'm in the third trimester.
So I think, you know, some people say you start getting tired again, but a lot of people just say this bit is, you know what you're doing now. You're not getting loads of tests or anything. You're out of that little sort of period.
Yeah.
So this bit is the bit where it's almost like each week is like, what do we do?
Just
wait.
But I guess there's also, you know, there's the other things we've started thinking about and talking about. Like,
well, we're back on pram watch. That's one thing we have with our free time this week. You caught me.
Yeah.
I hadn't looked at them in a while, and you caught me one night just looking at prams online. And then you went on a pram session.
Yeah.
Basically, I had to drag you off the sofa to go to bed.
But that's when we'd been going to bed at 9 o'clock every night. And I managed to stay awake till 11:30 that night, because I was looking at the prams.
It's unbelievable.
Looking at different bundles, looking at the scores and the ratings.
You've now gone back to the originally it was a sort of novelty choice. I bought the vintage pram, massive Marmet 60s, beautiful pram. That was just going to be this is going down the park pram. But now you have sort of come around to the fact that's going to be our everyday pram.
Yeah. It might be because we are only allowed to go down the park at the moment.
Yeah, but that will change, I would hope.
That I have no visions of going anywhere else.
or desire.
Yeah. The scope of my world has really come crashing in. So long as I can go to the park and come home, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do us.
But yeah, just reading about some of the other prams and the newer ones, like these old guys are good stuff.
Oh, they're the best.
There's things like, because they're higher off the ground, it means they're away from the car fumes.
Yeah.
That babies are very comfortable. Like, it's much more like being in the bed, in their cot, the kind of size of it. They're very comfortable in there and lying down.
The suspension is incredible.
Like, apparently they're fine in snow. People can use them in the
pushing snow. It, like, you can feel the weight of it. And the suspension is like, it's like an old vintage bike. You know, the suspension looks like it's going to be rickety or bad. Yeah. Actually, you know, because the bikes are so heavy, the suspension has to be amazing, because it has to take that weight of the... like wrought iron.
Yeah.
So that Marmot, you push it around, it's got a lovely suspension sort of weight movement to it.
Yeah. They say one of the problems is in smaller shops trying to go down the aisles. We wouldn't fit down in Sahar in our greengrocers.
No, nowhere near.
Wouldn't be able to.
I wouldn't even go in really those corners. Want to take it in Tesco's.
It could fit in there though.
It could, but you've got to think about the fact there are other shoppers there as well.
Yeah, but if people have got trolleys, it's pretty much a similar size.
What, a pulley trolley?
No, a shopping trolley,
yes.
Which I don't think we have them at our Tesco.
No, there's no. That's what I mean. It's not. I don't think that pram is going in Tesco.
Yeah. But that's where I'm at right now, that we use our 13-pound pram.
Yeah.
And we get a baby carrier, which I thought, which we were going to get anyway.
Yes.
And see how we go with that.
And a car seat.
Yeah. If it's fucked, then we'll buy a pram.
Yeah.
We'll buy a modern one.
Well, that's it. It's like, yeah, I'm quite... Now, I was all for getting a big, you know...
Bundle.
I looked at some really nice Kazato ones and I started looking at all the cool ones. And now, I've sort of slightly come around to like, let's just see how we get on.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be as well, then when they get older, they really like sitting up in it.
Yeah.
They can sit up in there.
It's so high. If they sit up in it, they're staring you straight in the eyes.
eye contact. And I'm obsessed with the parent-facing pram thing, the push chairs. So anyone who hasn't done the research and doesn't know, with the push chairs, you either have world-facing or parent-facing. So world-facing is really, I guess, more common at the moment, that babies get to look out and see what's around them. Whereas parent-facing means they're looking at you and can be much more... it helps their development with language and with emotional stuff and communication, because they're communicating with you.
Yeah.
And you talk to them while you go, and it kind of advances that kind of development. But there's quite a lot of prams that are world facing and parent facing that you can switch them around. So if we do get one of them or we get a bundle, it's got to be both.
Yeah.
Can't just be world facing, which is the yo-yo baby's in. Which are the really nice ones you can take on planes and stuff. Not that we're going on any planes.
Never done it for planes exist anymore.
All the planes are statues right now. They're only world-facing. That's a downside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing I've been looking up is about setting up the house, which is one of the things. So when we were due to come back from Australia, then it was like... 6 weeks until the baby was due. So that was kind of a nice amount of time to just start getting slowly sorted at home, start setting up a nursery area and start buying more stuff and preparing properly for the baby. So now we're, you know, we've got more weeks of doing that. And our plan initially was that we were going to move rooms in our house.
Yes.
'Cause our housemate... / landlord doesn't live here right now.
He's currently
in Japan.
Zen monastery.
So we're going to move into his bigger room with the baby. And then I've had a little bit of a change of plan on that, which is because our room is quieter and cozier.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
But now I've started flipping. Okay, today is I'm flipping back the
other way. Why?
The other way. Because it's good, because babies are quite good at sleeping with noise. And potentially if it's too quiet... then they're not good at sleeping in noisy environments.
Right.
So it can be better to get them used to noisier spaces.
Oh.
So yeah, I started...
But then we have to get used to noisier
spaces. Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. We should try sleeping in there one night and see how we go. Okay. See how we go. Because if we don't like it, then that's decided.
All right, yeah. I don't like it. I've decided.
You don't even know. It'll feel like we're at someone's house.
I don't like it.
We'll feel like we're at someone else's house, though, if we don't sleep in our room.
Oh, it'd be so weird. I've lived here for 7 years. I've never once slept in that bedroom.
Why would you?
Yeah.
That would be weird. Yeah. It'd be creepy.
Yeah.
That would be weirder if you told me you have slept in that bedroom.
Yes.
But you haven't.
No.
No, so that's all good. Oh, we did try and watch... We watched a Netflix Babies... Another episode of Babies, didn't we?
Yeah. Really, I'm not really into it. I like the BBC one much more. Yeah, this one's a bit too, I don't know. I like the BBC one was good fun and, you know, this one is a bit too, I don't even know. Was it BBC or was it Channel 4? What was the one that had the couples?
The Baby Has Landed.
Oh, that one. I really like that one.
Yeah.
That was the most fun one I've watched.
Yeah.
This Netflix one is a bit too science-y for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm on to another book after my hypnobirthing one, which first one I started reading was Baby and Child, I think, which is again another one my mum gave me from the 70s or 80s, yeah. Which there seemed to be some good stuff in there, and then there was some stuff that's definitely dated. But I flipped over to another one that a friend of ours gave us in Australia called Baby Love, which is a similar thing to this one that my mum gave me. It's quite a fat book that has a lot of covers a long kind of time in and things that you might get encounter throughout once the baby's born, like different if they get sick or different things that might happen, whether they cry too much, blah blah blah, blah.
Yeah.
And gives you all those kind of solutions or help with what the problem might be. But I've been reading quite a bit about breastfeeding at the moment.
Yeah.
And what are called? I'm going to say self-milking, but I don't know if that's...
Oh, God.
I don't know if that's the right word. I showed you that little picture last night.
Yeah, it was gross. It's a little sort of sketch of a woman squeezing milk out of her boobs.
Yeah. And
just before bedtime as well, you showed it to me. Good night.
It's such a funny little sketch just with a boob and then she's like squeezing it and there's like three drops just coming out of the boob. But I've been trying to visualize how that all works, which is supposed to be good in terms of breastfeeding. And when Laura told me to scout, did she say that on the podcast the other week?
To scour your boobs, yeah.
Did she say it on the podcast?
I'm pretty sure she did. Or did she forget to say it and tell us afterwards?
Laura, who we spoke to two weeks ago, told me to start scouring my nipples with a kitchen scourer. And I did it once in Melbourne and I think I did it hard there. I definitely made a little bit of blood come out.
Yeah.
And then, but since we've been back, I've got a natural scourer for the bath, which is made of twigs and shit. There's supposed to be an exfoliator, but it's made of twigs and it feels fucked. But I decided to give that a go on my nipples. I've been doing that.
Yeah.
But then in this book, this baby love book, it said not to do things to your nipples, that you should just let them be, because it's about teaching the baby how to if they attach properly or whatever, then you don't need to scour them.
Oh God.
But I'm scouring, so yeah. I don't know. Am I? Yes, I have. I've scoured my nipples. Who knew?
And on that note,
if anyone out there wants to get involved, scour your own nipples, give it a go. It's a tip we've received.
Yes.
And or if you've received that tip and you think it's a good idea, to reassure me, like when the good doctors when the nice doctors are reassuring, tell me. And if you're one of the bad doctors who says it's a bad thing, tell me that as well and I'll feel sad and then stop doing it and then start doing it again when someone says it's good. So, yeah, do get in touch. We've had a few people messaging us, which has been really nice. I am today getting on the social medias and starting to share some stuff because I've been very slack with that. So thank you for finding us, even though there isn't that much information out there about what we're doing.
Because
we are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All of those is at CheggersPod. And you can write to us at CheggersPod@gmail.com if you do want to get in touch directly. Carl, is there any other thoughts that you've got about?
It's not really.
No,
this week I've just been mainly thinking about prams.
So prams.
I'm on the pram. Yeah, I'm reading different books now. I'm having a break from baby books.
Yeah.
And I'm getting into the admin side of it.
Yeah. But he's also been very busy doing a million other podcasts without me.
Yeah, seeing as stand-up comedy is somewhat ground to a halt.
Yeah.
I'm currently filling my days doing other bits and bobs.
Yeah, so for Carl right now, you can find him on Twitch doing cooking classes. That's cooking, like cooking stuff. The first one was a disaster. Today's was fine.
Today's was fun.
Some yummy vegan food. So he's Carl Donnelly on Twitch for that. There's a comedian called Carl Drinking Coffee.
That's my little solo podcast.
Yeah. Then there's Two Vegan Idiots with Julie and Dean.
Yes.
Which they're putting up some funny little things.
Yeah.
Had a little reuniting podcast with Chris Martin for the
yeah.
Carl and Chris podcast
that
this week.
Nice. old time's sake.
So I had to get back in the picture and make sure this one got recorded.
I've managed to squeeze you into my busy schedule.
Yeah.
My busy lockdown schedule.
Although obviously he's not thinking about the pregnancy or the baby very much right now. So that will be this week's project, is to get him back on board, back on baby board. And he's going to have lots of things to share next week. Well, we probably won't have a guest. We might. He's working out how to do Zoom things and stuff like that.
I think we could, you know. I think I've cracked the tech.
Yeah. But, you know, or it might just be the two of us.
Okay.
And Massive Janet. So thanks for listening. We're back. Hope everyone's okay in quarantine or self-isolation or out of it, if that's where we are right now when you're listening. Thank you.
Bye.
We'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love. Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our
Twitter name. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.